This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca, Tass, Neil Mitchell and David Davis. David's just turned his phone off so that all the people he's canvassing for votes don't SMS him during the show.
No, I just don't want it to go off during the show. It would be embarrassing.
It could be.
Sorry.
So, look, welcome. Welcome, David. You've been in Parliament since 1996?
Correct.
So you're coming up for 25 years.
Well, not quite, but I keep working.
Yeah, yeah. What has been the low light and the high light of that time?
Oh, there's two clear low lights. One is... three clear low lights. One is 1999, losing the election then. Geoffrey was Premier and Neil remembers that very well. 2002 was that terrible election where we were pretty much wiped out across the state, and I think might be the only upper house MP at that time who was up for election who survived.
Yeah.
And you know, was re-elected.
Yeah.
So, Liberal in the state. And then, obviously, it was a very tough election last time. Losing government in 2014 was bad, but losing last time was worse.
Highlight?
Winning government in 2010 and being able to implement our program, being health minister, being able to implement a very important series of reforms, including for LGBTI community, and the AIDS conference would be one of the things I would put on that list as one of the things that we were very active in achieving. The Commonwealth Health Agreement, we rejigged that substantially in 2010 and early 2011, retained the GST for the state. Ted Bailey played a very significant role in that. I could go on. There's lots of things that you would point to that, you know, make a difference to the lives of people ultimately and put Victoria in a better position.
David, you've already signalled that you're the Minister for Equality and some of the work that you've done around supporting the LGBTI community. Our community is actually waiting to hear you come out and say something of support around the Victorian Pride Centre.
I've always been supportive of the Pride Centre on the public record and, in fact, pressing the minister with questions at public accounts.
Right.
You know, to get moving with it, because it's been much delayed. It was due to be completed before the end of the last term. So I want to see it done and dusted.
Our understanding is that it should be commissioned this time next year or end of next year?
Joy, we're due to move there by the end of next year. I expect October we'll be moving there. So,
And indeed, I think we made a commitment before the election that we would fund part of that, you know, so significant component
that's
of
correct.
That move.
That's correct.
And that's, you know, and we thank you for that and we acknowledge that, you know, yourself and Matthew Guy were very supportive of that commitment and made that commitment publicly.
Speaking of equality, what about renaming Margaret Court Arena Equality Arena, as was suggested this week?
You've gone for the good ones. Yeah. I think the balance here is a tough one. On one hand, you've got a genuine Australian sporting legend who's achieved so much. On the other hand, you know, I don't agree with her views, and I think many don't, but we do live in a country where you've got to, you know, respect people's different views, and that's the challenge.
So don't rename Margaret Court?
arena? I wouldn't rename it, no.
But I think it'll eventually get renamed. Not because anybody's...
I hope it's not like Marvel Stadium, which keeps changing yes, its name every week.
That.
You know, I scratch
I can barely
people say
up.
Marvel Stadium. I think, where's that?
No, I mean, normally these things do change names, though, don't they?
Mm.
Or am I just imagining that?
Oh, no.
I don't think the MCG's going to change.
Yeah, Rod Laver Arena's been that forever. I don't know that it'll change. Although, who knows, 50 years' time.
Mm.
Who knows? Probably another Ash Barty will have set a new record by then.
Mm.
Perhaps they could lease it to Lindsay Fox. Just call it Lindsay Fox Arena.
Well, he probably owns it, doesn't he?
He probably does.
Mind you, I did think that Margaret Court's comments during the week were a bit odd, really.
Well, in lobbying it.
Mm.
Yeah, she was making a point. But I don't know, she in a sense, she's been verballed a bit. Some of what she said was acceptable, some of it wasn't acceptable. And I've gone back through what she said, and it's very close to the line, and she's been verbal a little bit. Mind you, she seemed to be enjoying it too.
I think you're right about that. I think she's enjoying the limelight.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be renamed, but what I'd like to do is I'd like when Margaret comes to the tennis next year, and...
Well, she may not.
Let's assume she does. And as a committed Christian and a person of strong faith, I always thought that one of the tenets of Christianity was do no harm. So I'd like to see Margaret actually apologise for the harm that her comments caused to people. I'd be happy with that.
She did that with me this week, really. She said, because Anna Brown said she should apologise. Would you? And said, well, I haven't changed my views, but I apologise if it's caused hurt.
Mm.
And, well, she didn't use the word damage, but that was the inference.
The operative word there is if.
Well, she probably doesn't know whether she did.
Oh, she knows.
She knows.
Anyway, so you don't want to rename it, David?
Look, I'm not out naming
stadiums. What about David Davis Arena?
I don't think so.
Michael O'Brien Arena?
Mitchell Arena or something.
What have you went this whole issue? You've been going on and on before poor old David came in. What is your middle name, by the way?
McLean. It's my mother's maiden name. Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think I know where you're coming from. Macca. You're after Arena Macca, aren't you?
Macarena. That would work.
It's a dance, David.
Yeah, I do know. I saw Paul Keating and Bob. It might have been Costello, was it?
Was it Costello?
I think it was Costello.
And John Howard.
And on one of the morning shows, wasn't it?
Yeah.
David, I want to ask you another question. Seriously? The last time we spoke in the studio, we had
I came on the wrong day.
No. When you actually, I'm not sure that was
my fault. I was just throwing orders on that.
Blame someone's office.
Yeah.
But we don't have an office, so you've got to blame your own then. Anyway, the last time we spoke on air, we spoke about changing birth certificates for trans people.
Mm.
And since then, of course, there's been a bill and there's legislation. Now, you and your entire party voted against that.
Correct.
Can you explain to our listeners what your thinking and rationale behind that is?
Look, I think this is there's a deep view, isn't there, a philosophical view. Some think that, you know, the birth certificate is a record at the start and, the idea of rolling birth certificates changing annually under this legislation, I think people think is a step too far. I'm deeply respectful of the challenges of trans people who, you know, have had a very rough shake for a long time, and I'm not in any way stepping back from their challenges. But I think the idea that you can roll a birth certificate over into patently absurd categories every year is a step too far, and that's what we thought.
What do you mean patently absurd?
Well, when we're sitting in the bill briefing, you ask, how can you define gender? And there was a long list of, I think many of those are on the record in the parliament. But I think this is sort of stepped far beyond, I think, where the community actually feels.
I understand you didn't even speak on this bill.
Look, there was just the points were made, and I don't need to speak on every bill.
But as Minister for Equality, people are looking to you for leadership.
Well, the bill was actually brought in as an attorney bill, actually. So
what does that mean?
It's brought in as the Attorney General bill. Then it's a bill that's split between the two in terms of responsibility. The actual machinery of certificates and so forth is an attorney a general responsibility, and that's where it came through.
If we accept that, what you're saying, being able to change, you know, change the gender on your birth certificate, that, you know, and you could change it a number of times.
Annually.
Mm. So, but in terms of how does that impact people? How does that, you know, you have a view on this. How does someone being able to change their birth certificate to reflect who they believe they are, how does that impact on you and how does it impact on other people?
Well, I think there's just different views about gender and different views about the, you know, I mean, I suppose you could talk about this as a deep philosophical thing about essentialism, whether you believe the characteristics that you're born with are deeper characteristics. And, you know, I think we would have been more inclined to support it if it was a more moderate reform, but we think it actually was... a reform that probably went too far.
It's going to be easier to talk about leadership than this, isn't it?
Well, I think this is... I mean, I'm not stepping away from any of the... You know, the fact that these are difficult things to talk about.
David's point about Margaret Court doing harm.
Yep.
Now, I tend to side with you, but I'm being told by people like David that not changing does harm to people. If you've got this, the taking a strict attitude on the birth certificate is actually harming people. So I then say, okay, we don't want to do that. Is it actually, does it matter to me as moving around in my world, does it matter if somebody else decides they want to change their birth certificate? What damage does it do to me?
I understand the point. I think there's also a point that's a legitimate one that people... You know, some people, many people believe that you are born with one gender or another, and there's clearly, you know, and I would make the point that there's clearly some who have an issue where they wish to transition or challenge where they wish to transition forward. But, you know, some would say that there are characteristics and that these ought to be respected. So that would be one view. Others would say that, you know, let kids be kids and so forth, and that there may be too much focus on...
Didn't we go that through that with marriage equality, though? I mean,
I supported the marriage equality legislation. I think I was the first Liberal MP in the state to actually openly and clearly support that.
I remember that.
I have no difficulty with...
Remember Jeff Kennett saying about marriage equality, because he was strongly against it and then changed his mind. And he said, well, if it's going to make these people happier, why not?
Yes,
and doesn't
no, I understand the point, and I think that I think there are very different sets of decisions when you're talking about adults and when you're talking about children, and I think that much of this legislation, you know, dealt with people often in their teens, where a lot of this is much more controversial, and a lot of the health aspects of these matters are much more controversial too.
You talked about, you know... Earlier.
It's great to hear you actually airing some of these views, because the research that I've done shows that you actually haven't discussed this, and there have been many representations made to you by members of the trans community about this particular piece of legislation. So, thank you.
Yeah. You spoke earlier, David, about, you know, you used the term respect, you know, that, you know, we need to, you know, respect people's views, we need to respect Margaret Court's view. What about the respecting the view of the trans person?
Who
wants to change their birth certificate? What gives any of us the right to say, no, we decide, it almost sounds like boats, we decide what birth certificate you have and when you'll have it?
Look, I think these things are all a matter of balance and decision, and, you know, there are often competing rights. I mean, that is the facts and the truth of the matter, and, you know, it's not easy to balance those off, and I think...
It's not, but, I mean...
I probably, a bit like Neil, tend to fall always on the balance of people being able to speak and to have their views, even if they're unpleasant and even if you disagree with them. I think that you actually end up in a worse situation as a community if you excessively censor views and reduced views. But that's again a point of
it's
emphasis.
It's a point of view, of course.
Yeah, emphasis.
The truth is that it's now legislation.
Correct.
So unless there is a change of government and you actually actively do something about that, that is our current law. So I think we should move on to another topic.
Yeah, can I ask about pill testing? The New South Wales coroner recommending pill testing at festival, a trial of pill testing. No drug dogs, no searching of people going in because of the danger of them ingesting to hide it. If this happens, if New South Wales goes down this track, is that going to influence Victoria?
As I understand it, they're not going to do that, though. I understand New South Wales has actually specifically ruled that out. The Premier has ruled it out, and Gladys Berejiklian has been quite clear that they're not going to do pill testing. And I think that that is... I don't see any sign of that changing, in fact.
Should we look at the coroner's report here in Victoria?
Well, I think we should be prepared to look at it, all pieces of evidence. I'm personally not persuaded by pill testing, and I think nor is my party. We've taken the view that it is unlikely to, on balance, get the best outcome. I understand the arguments. People say, well, you test here and you'll be sure that the specific... that specific tablet, but I mean the impact on individuals is quite variable, and you know, others at the festival may not get pills tested. So I think there is a genuine issue as to whether in fact pill testing would help. And coroners, whilst they look at a case or a small number of cases, actually don't look. You know, as I'm deeply respectful, and you know, as a former health minister. But they actually don't look at the overall public policy impact. They make a recommendation from a narrow and legitimate perspective.
And that leads us to a safe injecting facility. Is it still your policy to close it?
Our policy is to see it moved, and we think that it should be moved.
You were going to close it, weren't you?
Prior to the election, yep. We had the view that it was not only in the wrong spot, but we would close it. We were obviously defeated, and as with all of your policies after an election, they are up for review, and we've taken the view that it should be moved.
Where would you move it to?
I was asked this at a press conference the other day, and I said, look, we are actually not the government. We don't have all of the resources of government. We don't have the planning department and the...
But what about in a broad brush, industrial area?
There's some principles I would say. You wouldn't want it near a school as it is now. You wouldn't want it near other sensitive facilities of that type. And I know my colleague Georgie Crozier has done a lot of work with the local community in that area. She has been to many meetings, met with people. I mean, some of the footage of the activities in and around the school and in the neighbouring lanes is you know, hair curling, and I think is the kindest way you could put it. And there are areas there that are now no-go zones for children and for some of the families. I think the families in that area have borne the brunt of some of this, and the businesses are certainly really been significantly impacted. So, you know, whatever your view about an injecting centre, this was the wrong location.
So you're saying that you actually support it now, but this is the wrong location.
Well, I'm saying we accept that there, you know, may be an injecting centre, but we think that this is the wrong location. Yeah. We always said it was the wrong location. I think even people who supported it at the time were curious about its placement near a school.
And I think it's great, David. You know that. You know, the party and, you know, the parliamentary party has moved on from that position and said, OK, in broad terms, we support it. We think it should be located. I think that's a good decision. There was one other...
Is that what David said?
Sorry.
It's close.
OK.
I'm allowing some licence.
A bit of licence? OK. Okay. Just before we go to a break, I want to ask you, you know, in terms of... And again, it's coming back to the matter of respect. Conversion therapy, and your party's had a pretty interesting discussion around this. Katrina Oakatell was not re-elected. She was one of the authors of the motions that supported conversion therapy. What's your view on conversion therapy?
Look, it's the same view as I had when I was health minister. We very much had the view that there was no scientific evidence that it was effective, and if you're going to use a therapy, you actually want to see that there's a reasonable evidence, and there's to my knowledge there's none. And you know, whilst I haven't read papers recently, there's to me, there's no evidence that it would be an effective treatment, and hence should, you know, not be what.
Will you support government's initiatives to ban conversion therapy?
Well, in fact, we brought legislation forward in the last parliament, which was frankly stalled by the current government in the one before in 2014, which allowed negative licensing, and actually would have provided a mechanism to actually deal with those points. So the bill sat in the parliament blocked by Labor shenanigans, and you know, that's the that's the record. So, you know,
so that, I take it you'll support
And that bill, the negative. Well, people ask, will you support a bill? When you haven't seen a bill, it's always hard to say you'll support that bill. But the principle that our intervention should be based on, health evidence is a good one.
Yeah. And I think you'll get lots of support for expressing that point of view.
I mean, I was very disturbed.
And I think Michael said the same thing publicly. Yes, he has.
Well, Michael actually, made a comment about Katrina Okotel and her support of conversion therapy, and he said he had no problem with that. And he actually supported, her being her election at the last state council. So, I mean, I don't think you can say Michael has that view. He supported someone who wants to electro all of us.
When he's been asked about conversion therapy, I think he's made a similar point to me, and it might even be because I've spoken to him. But I think he recognises that health interventions have got to be based on health evidence.
I remain unconvinced when he supported someone who wants to electro us.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Neil Mitchell as our special guest host today, and our guest, David Davis, the Minister for Equality, plus many other things.
Shadow Minister.
Of course.
Now, look, a couple of things. We're going to run out of time, David, but religious freedom. So you're pretty... I'm sure you understand the view of the LGBTI community. We're pretty concerned about this. Now, I know it's only a discussion draft that's circulating, but, I'm sure you speak with many of your colleagues, federal colleagues, Tim Wilson, Trent Zimmerman and others, about their views on this legislation. What's your view?
I haven't specifically canvassed the exact legislation with my federal colleagues, and although I probably should and probably will. But look, I think this, again, is one of those matters of principle where you're balancing several different rights, several different things that we would think religious freedom is and respect is good, but we would also think that a range of other rights are important, employment rights and a long list of other rights. So, it is my view that more often than not it is better if these things are done by parliaments, because in the end you actually have to... These are weighing up genuine balance points. I worry about courts making these decisions, because they often... You don't know which judge you get and all of those matters. But I do think there is a case for genuine religious rights to be respected.
So, I understand that and I respect that view. Sexuality isn't something you choose. Religion is. So,
of course, people are born into a community where they are educated with a religious view, and that's part of their cultural and other traditions, by and large, isn't it? It's true whether they're Muslims or Christians or whatever.
But they can change that.
Of course.
Other than conversion therapy, there's no way to actually change your sexuality.
I understand the point. I understand the point, and I think, when it comes to a whole range of issues that come out of these balances that have to be struck, they're not easy to strike.
And in fact, the truth is that many members of our community
are religious too.
Of course. But many members of our community will also argue that the so-called religious freedom push at the moment is really about creating a license and a legislative right for people to be able to discriminate against others on the basis of their gender or their sexuality.
I think it's broader than gender and sexuality, to be absolutely clear. Religious freedom's a broader matter.
Kind of another issue, public transport. Why don't you make it free? Totally free, or even free for a larger section of the community.
We actually did. In government, we brought forward the free tram zone in the city, and that was our initiative, although it actually was implemented on the 1st of January 2015.
What about broadly?
That's not what Neil's saying, though.
No. And I'm also saying that as Minister for Ageing, looking after seniors, we brought in a system that actually extended the... and many of us one day... availability of concessions were expanded to those at 60 years of old. So I'm just saying...
Would it add up? We looked at how much money we put in, what the deal is with the transport companies, and hang on, we're better if we just subsidise the whole thing. you get on free, more people use it, and you can get rid of your silly bike lanes.
And less cars. And I understand the argument. Of course, Victoria is the state that has the lowest collection rate as a share of what we expend on our public transport. We're in the low 20% of what we actually expend is actually comes through Farebox. So it's
not that much money.
Well, it's quite a lot of money. A lot of money, and the question is, you know, the balancing of taxes and so forth. But I understand the principle that Neil's putting out, and we almost win
an election for you.
You could.
Well, it didn't in 2014 when we said free trams to the city. I said that we should.
That's for the toffs to go to lunch.
There was an internal debate. I probably shouldn't reveal these things about when we would implement it. And the Fraidy Cats, of course, said do it on the 1st of January. And some of us who perhaps are less Fraidy Cats said let's do it early. And
I think you might actually have to tax road use.
Oh.
Well,
and register bicycles.
We're not proposing to put these charges in, although the state government has put, and I can't miss the opportunity to point out that they've put massive new tolls on the existing CityLink roads and a cascade of tolls that'll apply over 10 years on the existing roads to pay for a different set of roads. That some people will pay these new tolls now. You're paying the new tolls now, by the way, to pay for the Westgate Tunnel.
Now, I've got to come back to my original question.
Sorry, I couldn't resist
No, because a lot of that sounds like the words of a leader, David.
Oh, well, yes, I thought you'd win that one.
So tell me, do you want to move to the lower house?
No, and I've had many opportunities. Since I've been in Parliament, Q has been changed members twice, so has Hawthorne, Malvern once, Brighton twice, Sandringham once. I'm going through the lower house seats in my area. So the answer is I've had opportunities and have not taken those opportunities.
So you don't want to be leader?
No, I have no plan.
You can be leader from the upper house.
I'm not sure how that would work, but yes, the point is no.
No to moving or no to being a leader?
Both.
Both. Mm. Well, there you go.
Anybody approached you?
No. Now, they know my attitude to these things is that you keep working.
The mayor of Stonington has messaged in, David.
Yep. He had the pride night Thursday a week ago, and I was an apology, so I'm putting my apology on air efficiently.
Well, it says, Steve Stephanopoulos says, you are indeed the best numbers counter in the state parliamentary party and a great networker. There you go. All your supporters out there, they're all supporting you. Which is what supporters should
say. You're trying to get him up here. Is that the plan?
I'm not sure about all that, but can I just say one thing I want to put on record about the city of Stonington?
I think Mac is actually saying...
I'd actually urge Neil to go and have a look at this because this is going to become more and more important. The population density of the city is greater. The population is growing and we're losing open space.
In Stonington or generally?
This is a more general problem, but in Stonington they have actually... at expense and challenge, tackled some of this with the Cato Square. So that's the car park just south of Commercial Road. People will know it. And what they've done is they've taken what was a shocking area of Ashfield. They've dug down two layers, so you've got... There's actually more. I think we've gone from...
The principle is fantastic, David.
That's why I'm saying, because I went to look at it.
The jury's out on it, though.
Well... The car park works. I know people who've used the car park.
But the jury's out on the public space.
You don't like the public space. What are you saying? Bad design. You like
You've stuffed it up.
I like the grass. I probably would have preferred more grass, but I see that it's going to be a space that people will like. It's about a hectare, Neil, in area.
Yeah. That is Steve Smith like, the deflection. Do you ever want to be leader?
Hey, no.
Never ever.
No, I've got no desire to do that. I want to get on and do my job.
I tell you someone, Steve Stephanopoulos would be, you know, what he's got to do is
He'd be happy with me mentioning Cato Street.
He would.
Yes, he would.
What he's got to do is he's got to fix his officious parking inspectors in Stonington. Who actually take pictures of offences from cars because they won't get off their fat ass and come and tell people they're parking in the wrong place.
All right.
There you go.
Did you get booked?
Oh, yeah. I don't deny the event.
How did you guess that, Neil?
So, David, look, I want to thank you. I really do. It's great to have you in here. You are welcome anytime. We appreciated you came in before the election and announced the policy. And
is this an apology for that? You said he was going to be, he's running and going to be leader.
Well, it's my information. I'll be taying to those people who told me that, that they're wrong, that David has categorically denied it. Categorically denied it.
They've obviously not spoken to me. That's
no.
David, thank you for coming into the studio. It's great to have you.
It's as close as he gets to an apology.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit like a Tony Abbott apology. It wasn't the campaign wasn't wrong, it was the candidate.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.